Zechariah 2:8, he who touches Israel touches the apple of his eye. I think that's just a great verse to remember. Like, yeah, it was quoted at the ceremony of dedicating the embassy. Isaiah 62:1, so this one is so good. For Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until her righteousness goes forth as brightness and her salvation as a lamp that burns. And so her salvation as a lamp that burns, a light, a city on a hill. I mean, it's funny because sometimes the church, we can run ahead of ourselves in Jesus, but like he's going to be doing this in Israel. You know, like he can do it around the nation of the earth, but like this is going to happen. I think this is what's so amazing. Like he's going to rule and reign from Jerusalem. And that was something I was going to, you know, just highlight about the embassy ceremony that happened. I heard it multiple times. I think the rabbi might have said in his prayer, but I heard from people who weren't pastors, people that were just in the political realm speaking, and they highlighted the return of the Messiah, you know, on a couple of different occasions. I'm just like, man, like this is a reality hitting the earth. It's on TV right now. It's all like they know it. Now they just need to have the dots connected and realize who he is. But all the pastors there, they're using that language like we know he's coming, and he's gonna be. It was actually really cool because growing up, I used to watch John Hagee on TV. He was very much pro-Israel, and almost all of his messages were about Israel. Haven't seen him in years, and all of a sudden I look up and he's there praying to close out the ceremony. I'm like, that's pretty cool, you know? Like, okay, God, you know, like. He must have a special place in the heart of the prime minister and Israelis, because I'm sure he's probably one of those vocal pastors they know about Israel and standing with Israel. But his prayer was so powerful because it was biblical. And he gave the prophetic lens of what's happened in Israel, prophetically speaking. And at the end of it, he just passionately just said, and the Messiah will be coming and ruling and reigning here in Jerusalem and govern the nations of the earth. And just the way it was like, yeah. Yeah, so the revealing of that to the world, but to Israel. So we'll get into that here. Psalms 132:13-4, for the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his dwelling place. This is my resting place forever. He will dwell. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. So this is one of many verses, even Psalms 105:8, I believe. I didn't put it in the slides, but it talks about basically a contract with Israel. Like he gave over the land deed for them. He used the language like it's been allotted to them for a time. Like it's my land, but I'm going to let them live on it, basically. You know, it's like, wait, God's saying that? And so I read that verse, and I'm like, woe to the nations that try to come and take the land, because it's God's land. It's not anybody else's land. He will let who he wants to be on it. Go ahead to the next slide, please. So God has called us to pray for Israel. Our prayers really matter, and they really shift things. And so I really believe that with all my heart. And I go into those prayer meetings, and you know, you just have to have that faith and that childlike faith. God, like, why not? Why not loosen the heavens? Why not? You know, when do you want to do it? Let's just pray now. Let's just let the incense rise. And I had this picture this past week of just like taking, you know, have a bow and arrow and just shooting up prayers to God. And it just, in the midst of the sky, just turns into incense. You know, and you have all this fire and fury. Like, yeah, God, get it. And he just lets it like slowly rise to him. And he answers it in due time and just has perfect understanding, perfect leadership about how he's going to do it. But he needs watchmen to stand and to be encouraged to continue on, but to raise to encourage others to stand as well. So Isaiah 62:6-7, I have set watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. They shall never hold their peace day or night. You who make mention of the Lord, do not keep silent and give him no rest till he establishes and until he makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. And that's one of, you know, at IHOP, it's one of the verses we hold to when we pray for Israel, and just in that belief, you know, like he is going to make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. And most likely it's going to be because he's going to be in the middle of it, you know, and people will be like, we got to get to Jerusalem. The guy, that Jesus dude, yeah, that saved everybody, like, we love him, like, he's there. We need to get there. We need to, like, he's actually, scripture says, like, knowledge and wisdom and understanding, and it's going to be, you know, a trillion, quadruple, billions times bigger than Solomon. You know, where the peoples of the earth are coming, nations are coming in to get wisdom, understanding, and resources and wisdom and ideas and thoughts. You know, like, oh, you can cure cancer this way. Oh, you could do this. Like, just the crazy, you know, heavenly wisdom that's going to be released. It's going to be amazing. The nations of the earth will come. There'll be no more sun, you know. Scripture says there'll be no more sun because his brightness will light up the earth out of Jerusalem. You know, like, it really will be a praise in the earth. Romans 10:1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. And so Paul, you know, he was willing to trade it all in just so they could be saved, you know. And I really, you know, we'll cover this a little bit more, but like just that idea that, I mean, it is such a blessing when someone that is, you know, of Jewish descent, that hidden or not hidden, they come into understanding when they accept Jesus into their hearts, like how powerful that is, you know. And that is what was in his heart during the first coming, you know, like it's what he wanted. He wanted more people to get it and to follow him. And so there's actually, I heard this when I was in Israel. I don't know if it's fully true or not, but I mean, something to take into prayer. And we actually prayed it this morning in a prayer meeting for Israel. And I heard that before the Holocaust, that before Messianic Jews were called that, a lot of the leaders around in Jewish communities, nations of the earth, like a lot of them actually believed in the Messiah. You know, like they actually were, they connected the dots, like it's Jesus, okay. And they were teaching it, they're sharing it. And what's crazy is like the Holocaust wiped out almost all the leaders. Like they're all gone because they put themselves on the line. But like the enemy wanted to remove them. He didn't want them to spread that to the rest of the Jewish faith, you know. And because Christianity isn't a replacement of Judaism. It isn't, you know, part Judaism 2.0. It's within Judaism. It's the fullness coming out, you know, of like the fulfillment of the prophecies and scriptures coming to pass where it's like, oh, it all comes together. It's like, we get to be, you know, the family of God. So just in thinking about that, like, man, like when Jew and Gentile coming together, the one new man reality, man, that's amazing. Next slide, please. All right, in the face of persecution, we are called to stand with Israel. So this is Zechariah 14:1 through 2. For I will gather all the nations to battle against Jerusalem. Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as he fights in the day of battle. So there is a coming day of war, and I mean, it's going to be something that will be, it's hard to fathom how epic it's going to be. I mean, how brutal and bloody and all that, and just war. But I actually heard this recently, that as heaven prepares for a wedding, earth prepares for war. And just the parallels there, you know, like heaven's preparing for a wedding, you know, and God's trying to break in here and there, planet earth, and the nations of the earth, they're preparing for war in all these different ways. And there is no peace, you know, as scripture says, there is no peace without Jesus. You can't have peace without the Prince of Peace. And so until he comes back, like there can't really be true peace. And so that day coming, how beautiful it's going to be. When he brings it, and he brings it, and after it's all said and done, there's going to be a wedding. You know, like the Father, the kingdom of heaven, you know, Jesus says is a father preparing a wedding for his son, you know, and just like that, wow. And that's a whole nother level right there of understanding ancient Jewish culture and weddings and how it's all throughout the scriptures. You know, I'm sure you guys have heard all about it, you know, but like a lot of people don't know that. Like actually, if you know the customary things, the thief in the night to the trumpet blowing to, you know, the father sending the son away until it to go prepare the house and all these things that have to happen. Oh my goodness. Like it just screams out to people, you know, about what God was doing in Israel. So I love, this is the Corrie ten Boom's family. For a little history with them, for 100 years before World War II, they were praying for Israel as a family for 100 years. And in the same way that Corrie ten Boom and her family were a Christian family that hid and protected Jews during the Holocaust and were persecuted because of it, we are called to stand with Israel now in the days to come. And that's from the book and the movie, The Hiding Place. We know the end of the story, and despite all the enemy's plans, all of Israel will be saved and Jesus will reign from Jerusalem forever. So it's a big picture right there, you know, like it's where we're going, you know, and I mean, it's going to be pretty amazing. And I've heard, you know, that I know that the Lord has through different avenues here and around the world, that there's people preparing places for hiding, you know, the Jewish people. And specifically because of a verse we'll go over that Jesus speaks, which you probably know about that. But it really, I mean, I heard about one guy that the Lord was giving him such information, and he was getting, God was helping him gather technology for having like an island that's basically hidden. Like satellites can't find it. It's a camouflage. The buildings will be camouflaged, all these things. And it was for the sake of hiding the Jews, you know, when the time comes. And like, he, like, I can't even tell you where it's going to be at. All this stuff, God is telling me exactly how to do it, where, when to, how to gather the people, all these different things, the timing of it. I mean, it's really like, wow, that's pretty amazing. Next slide, please. So it's real, you know. God has called us to declare Israel's destiny. So, I mean, we have, there's a trifecta here, you know, of different things happening with how we stand with Israel, how we pray for Israel, it's the gospel 101, you know, loving God, your neighbor, and yourself, you know, and like we do it to the Jews too, you know, we love them, we show them, we want to provoke them, as scripture says, to jealousy, you know, like, hey, like, the same signs and wonders your forefathers got to participate in and were happening, you know, through, you know, Moses and different things, like, hey, it can happen again. You know, it is happening now, you know, and it's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is doing it. And there's actually studies right now that American Jews that are like 30 years and younger and also around the world, but like they're like more open, even in Israel, they're more open to the gospel right now than ever before. So it's really interesting, you know, just the season of life that we're in. So Romans 11:26. And so all Israel will be saved, as it is written, the deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Isaiah 2:3. Many people shall come and say, come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. I just love that. The word of the Lord from Jerusalem. You know, it's like, man. Jeremiah 3:17. At that time, Jerusalem shall be called the throne of the Lord, and all the nations shall be gathered to it, to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem. So right there, just even Jeremiah prophesying that the nations will be coming to Jerusalem and they'll be coming to the Lord. And just like, man, like this is Old Testament and New Testament. It's pretty amazing. So the next slide, I believe. Yeah, so, you know, we're going to keep in the heartbeat of, as we get close to the end here, we're going to keep in the heartbeat of prayer, but I just felt like it was worth noting before this weekend hits, just getting this on your guys' mindsets about Shavuot. Yeah, I always say it wrong. Yeah, there we go. I think I actually spelled it wrong. But so the Feast of Weeks. So, I mean, I just want to like preference this by saying, like, I am myself, like, learning and growing. I have a desire to, like, know and understand the feasts and, you know, just how the fall feasts represent, point to the marriage and the wedding to come and, like, all the different representations for Israel and for the church. And, I mean, it's great to have an understanding because it really helps you to understand the bigger picture. So as I'm sharing this, I'm not coming from a place of being, you know, like an expert by any means, but I'm just excited about it, you know, and learning. So the Feast of Weeks, Shavuot marks the giving of the law of Moses on Mount Sinai. There's just some cool facts about it, May 19th to 21st. And also, like, it's like the grain, the harvest of the grain when they collected the grain. And so it's part of, it's almost like the first fruits were the last one, the before this one. But this is almost kind of like a continuation. And they actually will recite the book of Ruth during this, which harkens back to the fields of grain and a Gentile coming in and kind of giving life to the Jews, like Naomi being old and just needing to be encouraged and, you know, uplifted. And I mean, it's like right there in front of them and they're reading it, you know, it's like, hey, I mean, Jew and Gentile coming together, God's not joking here. And throughout Jesus's genealogy, there's Gentiles that were plucked in, boom, Rahab and, you know, Ruth. And I mean, along the way, just to kind of highlight to people how much he cares. In Jewish history, the law being given to Mount Sinai, I don't think I put it in here, but I heard this quote, it might be on the next slide, but that the law, it's like a Jewish saying, because I heard it from somebody who celebrates Shabbat who's Jewish, but they were saying like the law was given so there could be life. Like it actually, like it was almost like the boundaries set up for life to happen, you know? So like just from that, like, wow, that's powerful to think about. Like even in our driving down the street, the laws of the land, like we have the law so that way we can do life, that we can live. Like, oh, that actually helps me. It makes a lot more sense for me, you know, just in the practicals. But then they got it to that degree. In Jewish history, they believe that Shavuot is where Israel was betrothed to God through the Ten Commandments. And so that's actually like ancient Israel believed that. Like, we were betrothed to God then. And, you know, Moses might have been the only one that went up on the mountain, but they all were getting encountered by in some way. Like, it was special what happened to Moses, but they all agreed to be betrothed to God, you know, at some point there. And I was reading the scripture the other day. I didn't put it in the slide, but it was amazing. Like, wow, they actually committed. Like, yes, be it so to us, you know, was their answer to God. You know, like, we commit to be in this covenant with you, in this betrothal, which, if you know Jewish marriage, it's like, it's crazy how it all breaks down. So the next one, in ancient Israel, during a wedding ceremony, a bride's price was given to the parents. And then they would sign a ketubah or a legal contract to explain how the bride would be taken care of. This is where I just kind of gave a little bit of history because it's really cool. It's really awesome, like, how much the Lord cares about us and how much he's into the details. But Shavuot occurs 50 days or 7 weeks after Passover. Let's go ahead to the next slide, please. So then 50 days later is Pentecost, you know, or after Passover is Pentecost. So the same holiday, the same marking of when, you know, the law was given Mount Sinai, which is also called the Jewish Pentecost or the Israeli Pentecost or Israel's Pentecost, I believe, something like that. We have the Pentecost that happened to the church, you know, so to speak. So 7 weeks, the Pentecost and the promise of the Holy Spirit. 7 weeks after Jesus' death and resurrection, he leaves his spirit as a down payment or a bride price of what is to come. And so just thinking about that, because they're explaining like a bride would receive, and it happened with Rebecca, with Isaac's wife. You know, they gave a bride's price, and they explained, this is how my master's going to take care of you, and this is what he's going to do, and this is what he's going to bring to the table, and just lavish her with, because really, I mean, all the ladies here in this room, I'm sure know, especially when you're young, like, you wanted to be protected, or you wanted to be safe, you know, you wanted to feel secure, and that's one of the blessings that happens with a husband, but also with God, you know, like, feeling like, you got my back, Lord, I can trust you. So I think realizing that Jesus leaving his spirit, he's like, guys, I'm going to take care of you. I'm leaving my spirit with you. you know, and he's going to explain to you. He's going to release the mysteries of heaven. He's going to give you information, and he's going to help you individually, personally, in your own lives, the way that I want to help you. He's going to help. He's going to reveal these things to you. So Ephesians 1:14. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. So, I mean, right there, it's like, oh, okay. Sums it up a little bit right there. But just the promise of what the Holy Spirit, you know, was bringing to the deal, sealing you up. You're going to be protected. You have an inheritance, redemption. You know, you've been purchased a possession to the praise of his glory. He's going to get the glory. It must have been pretty amazing to just be a new believer, you know, back in those days. Jesus is, all of a sudden, he's ascended. The Holy Spirit's there. And you're like, oh, we're not alone. This is great. You know, like, this isn't like the world's coming against us. Like, we have what it takes to keep going, you know. And it's unto the day he returns, you know, when he will once again drink from this cup, and he will finalize the ceremony, the wedding ceremony that God started with Israel and with his family. So 2 Corinthians 1:21-22. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us in God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts, is a guarantee. So just another, some verses to back that up and just kind of like solidify it, you know. And I just love that. Like, in I believe this is the same feast that they also, I believe it is. Maybe it's a different one, but they share the Song of Solomon's, you know, and read it out loud, and it's kind of like talking about the seal upon our heart and just all of that. So I just think about that, God sealing us up for him, and just the promises that, as that's one of the things, you know, about the promises of God, remembering them. It's great to remember them for your own life, but to remember them for Israel and to proclaim them over Israel. And like, you're going to do it because, you know, if he does it for Israel, he's going to do it for us. Yeah. He's going to bless us, you know, and probably almost every single promise and blessing that touches Israel is going to touch us at some point. You know, it's going to flow down. So next slide, please. All right. So, I believe this is the last one, but I'm not sure. I think it is. Okay, good. God is setting watchmen for Israel. So, you know, as I shared at the beginning, you know, and just like the 100 million intercessors being raised up to pray for Israel and to stand with Israel, and like, it's for a reason. You know, like, God's doing this for a reason. This isn't an accident at this time in human history that God's raising up, you know, believers to unify in prayer and in one heart with the Lord to pray for Israel. And, you know, being a priest, you know, before the Lord, like, it's as simple as standing before God and before the people, you know. And so just to be in that place of, Lord, we want to, on their behalf, we're going to step in the gap, you know, and we were going to ask and we're going to pray. And I think that becoming something that becomes a desire and a passion for the body of Christ is, it's a must. Isaiah 62:6-7, some final scriptures. That I have set watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. They shall never hold their peace day or night. You who make mention of the Lord, do not keep silent and give him no rest till he establishes and makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. And so, just that place, like, he is going to, you know, day and night, he's going to establish watchmen to forever, you know, hold the line and be praying for Israel. And he's going to do it in Israel, and he's going to do it around Israel, and he's going to do it around the nations of the earth. Isaiah 52:8, your watchmen shall lift up their voices. With their voices they shall sing together. They shall see eye to eye when the Lord brings back Zion. And that's just pretty cool because we know 70 years they've been in the land, and like, what else is he about to do? You know, and as we continue to raise our voices and we see each other eye to eye as we encourage each other and acknowledge what's happening and God's on the move, like, it's exciting. Isaiah 40, verse 9. O Zion, you who bring good tidings, get up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, you who bring good tidings, lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. So I think it's just a place of encouragement. I think even as intercessors, that we're praying for encouragement for Israel, for the Jews to come into a place of like feeling encouraged. And I would say that their hearts would be ready to receive their Messiah. And that is one of those things that, you know, for whatever reason, they miss it sometimes, you know, and they, but there's, right now, there's over, last I heard, there are 16,000 Messianic believers in the land of Israel, and is growing right now. And there's, like, even as you pray, like, we've been hearing reports and stuff of just, like, there's laws in the land against, you know, the churches there, Messianic believers, but then there's also a remnant rising up where they've been persecuted for years, and just even believing, like, praying that Messianic believers outside of Israel will be allowed in the land because they're not allowed in the land. You know, it's almost, like, illegal to be, unless you're born, and then you're not even allowed to apostatize your children. You know, you get put in jail, you know, like, if you do there in the land. Like, it's just crazy how even as the embassy things happening, they're championing all these religions coming against us, but the Masonic believers in the land aren't allowed to. They're not allowed to celebrate who they are, and they're not allowed to be overt about the Messiah and to share the gospel. But God is doing it anyways, and he's raising up, you know, like-minded believers in the church, in the body, to stand up as watchmen and to champion the call and to encourage the church there. So, just wanted to encourage you guys, and I know that you guys have a heart for Israel and praying, standing, and guys, job, you know, like I've heard this, you know, said by someone that I respect, and they said it once before, like, it doesn't matter the size of the prayer meeting, you know? Like, God hears. There's two or more gathered, it's still as powerful, you know? And so sometimes, you know, we got to have like three people, and we got to do this and that, like. Like, God doesn't need that to move. Like, you know, like the Azusa Street Revival was a guy with a box over his, like, shutting everyone else out. It's just him and God, you know, like, and it just, I mean, anything can happen. So, I just want to encourage you with that. And, you know, I really, you know, I love that we prayed in the front, because I didn't know that we'd be praying for Israel so well on the front end. So that's great, because I was like, maybe we'll pray for Israel afterwards. Man, I just love your guys' heart for Israel. And I really, I feel like just the beginning of the service and as we're going through, like, just thinking how much it's part of your DNA, you know, spiritually in the church, and just like how much this is a rarity, you know, like this is unusual if you think about it, you know, like most churches, they don't got time to be praying for Israel, or like even out there on the forefront, like we got business to get to, and we got to keep moving, and even worship, you know, is controlled by finances and time and energy. It's like, man, it's like, I just appreciate your guys' heart for the Lord, to worship him, to give to him, to, you know what, to actually dare to be lost in the moment, and just like, God, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You know, and from my understanding, you know, that is very much, you know, a Hebrewic mindset, you know, like they don't kind of keep time, you know, like, and just, no, like, they're living life, you know, they're enjoying life. That was part of ancient Israel, was enjoy life and be with one another, but unto it being, you know, God the center of it. And so I just appreciate you guys' heart, you guys standing with Israel, and I just want to pray really quick. Father of glory, we just come before you. We honor you. We thank God for who you are, for what you've done. Or just we're here in the history this past week, in human history, with the embassy being moved, for even just for what you've done with each person here in this room. Lord, what you've done with this church, with this fellowship to actually give, Lord, wherewithal and understanding and vision and clarity for your heart towards the Jewish people, for Israel. Lord, just even, God, the way that throughout human history you've been so a part of your church's life and plans, and you so much, God. And Lord, even when we miss it, you're there to pick us up and to help keep going, God. And I just pray, hey God, that you would just release your power here today, Lord, upon this body, Lord, upon the church, upon the fellowship, Lord, upon believers here. I pray, Lord, for a multiplication, Lord, of watchmen to rise up here in this house, in this church, God, that it would be one that is set fire for you, for your glory, God. Unashamed, Lord, always sold out for you and for Israel, God. Really, Lord, I pray, Lord, in the night there'd be dreams, visions. I pray today, God, visions and just from you. How praying for Israel, how praying for events and things that are happening on earth that affect Israel, God. And I pray, God, that you continue to impart your heart for your people in such a way, because they have that desire. And Lord, you put it there. I just pray, Lord, you would just continue to release your word, and that you would encourage hearts today. And Lord, that you strengthen the watch and hear, God. I say thank you, Lord, for the sacrifice. Thank you, Lord, for the moments when no one notices what they're doing. Lord, even individually, closet at home, or in the car praying, just thank you, Lord. Thank you for the readiness, willingness to partner with you and to pray with you and to be with you, God. And just pray, Father God, that out of this house, out of this fellowship, grace, fellowship, God, that there just be a blessing that will go forth into the land of Israel, that will touch the people in such a significant way, God, and we're on the outside in eternity, God, that you would allow each member and show them the fruit of what they've done. I just pray, even beyond already happening, I pray that you release enough blessing to come from this into the land. Lord, that would be so into the people, into the land, and God, great things would come because of God. Salvations to be shifted and changed, God. We pray for this. I just pray, Lord, you would just release the spirit of intercession, new level in this place and among your people. In Jesus, Yeshua's name, amen. Thank you so much, everyone.
Jacob, I want to thank you for speaking into our church and for praying over us in such a magnificent way. Thank you. Thank you. You're talking about John Hagee. John Hagee is the International Director of Christians United for Israel. That's called CUFI. We are a CUFI church. They have a prayer arm, which is called Daughters for Zion. We are a Daughters for Zion church. We are tied together with the Missouri State Daughters for Zion. Over the region director, Billy Brim is the regional director for the whole region. Somebody that I like to call my pastor, her cousin, her nephew, is the Missouri State Director for CUFI, and her wife is the Missouri State Director for Daughters for Zion. God can tie what you guys are getting ready to do at IHOP KC into CUFI and Daughters for Zion and Daughters for Zion into what you guys are doing. And it's all, the network is already international. The prayer network is already across the nation, Daughters for Zion. There are Daughters for Zion meetings. There are Daughters for Zion status calls, conference calls, on what we should pray about. There are CUFI conference calls where we get to hear from somebody from Israel. We talked, there was a major from the IDF that actually talked at one of the last ones that I got a chance to hear. Not the last one, but one of the last ones I got to hear. So these things are happening within the body of Christ. one of the things CUFI asks us to pray for is that at some point, all believers begin to love Israel and pray for Israel. So it's happening. What's happening here is going to be international, but it's already it's local, it's regional. It's got the groundswell. God's already doing it, and this church is part of all that. It's not just that we have a heart for Israel. We hooked in, and we're a part of something bigger. Marilyn back here is our church coordinator for Daughters for Zion. So she plugs in with the state director and the national director, and the national director and the state directors and all down the line. So that is active. That is part of what's going on here. So you plugged in to the right body of believers to share what you shared, because that's our heartbeat. You've got your finger on the pulse of what's going on here. Amen. At this point, we're going to do the Brakit Kohanim, which is the priestly blessing. God told Moses to tell Aaron what happens when Aaron and his sons, the priests, say this over the people: I will put my name on them. There are three blessings in here. If you take it, it's life, prosperity, live long and prosper. Long life, life, and prosperity are in these blessings. But it's God saying, I'll put my name on you, I'll lift you up, I'll carry you. Amen. Your little baby, Selah, do you ever hold her up like this and look at her? That third verse, the 26th verse, the Lord lift up his face towards you and the Lord give you peace. That's what that's talking about. He's got us up like that. That's the only place in Scripture where it says God lifts up his face to you. And that's what he's doing. So when you do it as a father, the Father's doing it for you. First it's in Hebrew, then in English. Go ahead.
Yevere kikar Adonai veishmurecha Yar Adonai panav elecha vechunecha Yesa Adonai panav elecha vesham lecha Shalom. The Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his face towards you and the Lord give you peace. Shalom, shalom.